All right, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you believe the Bible? Do you like the Bible? Is the Bible right and you're wrong sometimes? That's usually how it is. I want you to take your Bible this morning, turn to two places. Romans chapter 2. And then I'm going to put my little marker there. And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Romans chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to do some drawing up here on the board here. Hope my markers work. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that one's in good shape. Michael, can I pick on you this morning? You don't mind? For good or bad, right? I'm going to pick on you, all right? Yeah, that's what son-in-laws are good for. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to draw me a little dot here. All right? So you just kind of focus on the dot for just a second. And then Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to start out. Is everybody there? Say amen. Okay? I mentioned during Sunday school, I mentioned that I was going to be preaching a message on judgment, on judging people. And I'll tell you that I have, and God's been dealing with me over the past years, and it's a little bit, you know, if you concentrate on serving the Lord and wanting to be better, God does make things better for you, and all of a sudden you're just not some of the things that you used to be. That's how it is supposed to be in Christ. Can I hear you say amen? We always can always look back and say, I'm not perfect. There's a lot of places I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. And that's all good. And that's not because you've made yourself a better person. It's just because you've asked God to make you a better person. And you're better than you used to be. But in my youth, I used to be very, very judgmental. I mean, extremely judgmental. And anybody that wasn't like me and didn't talk like me and anybody that didn't like me, I mean, I judged them as I judged people as heretics. I judged people as all kinds of things. And I've grown in the grace of God, and I've grown in the knowledge of God, and I know what heresy is. And there are some people out there that are heretics. Amen? And there's people out there that's preaching false doctrine and false ideas and this and that and the other, and they're trying to enslave men rather than making them free. And I'm going to preach against that stuff. And so just because I'm preaching against being judgmental does not mean I'm going to stop preaching the doctrine of the grace of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of this book. The two are not. What you'll find out in the world is there are a lot of people out there that will accuse you of judging them when you say that certain things are wrong. And I'm here to tell you that drinking alcohol is wrong. Amen. I'm here to tell you shacking up is wrong and homosexuality is wrong. And a lot of the things that are being accepted as commonplace in this world right now in our country are wrong. And if you say they're wrong, they will call you, well, you're judging me and you're not supposed to. They'll pick this one little theme, their pet theme out of the Bible, when they couldn't care less about anything else that's in the Bible whatsoever. But they will pick this one thing out of there and accuse you of it. Is what they'll do. They'll say, well, you're not supposed to judge. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to judge me. Okay? And the truth of it is, they don't know beans about what it means to be a Christian and how it means to be born again. And that when you're born again and saved, there's things that you just don't want to do anymore. And you know they're wrong. So anyway, but we still have a judgmental nature in us. And this is going to, and I want you to just apply this or let God apply it in your life wherever it's supposed to be. Okay, wherever it's supposed to be. But I'm gonna pick on Michael here for a minute because I got an illustration I want to use, and because a lot of you know what's going on with our church. We got somebody sends us hate mail every now and then. Okay? And they hate me. They hate my guts. Call me all kinds, use vile, foul language and tell me that I'm going to hell. Okay? I mean bad, nasty stuff they'll send me in a hate mail and tell me that I'm going to hell. Okay? Anyway, Matthew chapter 7, this is the words of our own Savior, the bishop, the author and bishop of our faith, the chief apostle, the cornerstone, amen, the judge of mankind is telling us this. Matthew chapter 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou thy the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Now, how many of y'all believe that? Say amen. Romans chapter 2. Now, we're going to draw something into this here. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. That's pretty much what Jesus just got done saying here. Okay? Now I'm going to illustrate that for you here in a little bit. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches? Now I want you to concentrate on verse 4. Because I want to tell you why we judge people. I'm going to tell you why we judge people. In fact, God's going to tell you why we judge people. Okay? This is why we do it. He said, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to whose deeds? His deeds. Don't believe this nonsense that God judges. If God judges one, he's going to judge everybody. I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but I explained this here a while back called communitarianism. That if one's right, then we all are right, and if one's wrong, we're all wrong. That's not the case. God's going to judge every individual individually, one at a time, based upon what they did, not what everybody else around them did. Amen? So don't think that because you're a member of such and such church or a member of such and such organization, that automatically gains you access to heaven. That's a lie. That's not how God judges. Can I hear you say amen? Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is, watch this now, for there is no respect of persons with God. Let me hear God's people say amen. No respect of persons with God. Zero. I don't care what family you're born into. I don't care about the wealth that you have. I don't care that you're proud about being a redneck. Okay? Amen? I don't care about that. God don't either. God doesn't, he does not respect people. He's not going to judge you or pass judgment upon you or be kind to you simply because you are a Jew or simply because you're not a Jew or you're from southern Missouri or you're from Alabama or you're from wherever. It doesn't matter. God doesn't care about that. He's judging you upon your actions and your deeds. That's how God's judging you. Now verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. In other words, the Ten Commandments was not given to the Gentile peoples, and yet even before the Ten Commandments, did you know the Gentiles had marriage ceremonies? Isn't that amazing? You know why? God wrote the law on the inward parts of them. We automatically know that it's right for one man and one woman to get married. We know that automatically. We know that it's wrong for anything else to that's a defilement of the law that God has written in our hearts. It's a defilement of that. And when we haven't been given the law like Israel was, and yet we do the things that are according to the law,
then we consent that the law is good. We are giving consent. If somebody steals from you and that makes you mad, that means stealing must be wrong. I mean, if you don't like the law and you say, well, I don't believe the laws of the Bible, then when somebody steals from you, then it shouldn't bother you. Amen? It shouldn't bother you at all. You say, oh, you know what? Maybe they just needed it. It's okay. Really? You catch some guy in bed with your wife, I guarantee you, that's not, well, you know, maybe just, you know, it's okay. That's not how we are. Amen? Verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. Your conscience will either accuse you or excuse you. Okay? Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of them by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's why Christ had to be sinless and perfect, is that he alone has the right to judge. You remember when they brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus? You remember that story? Now, if you listen to these modern, and I heard this for a long time. I heard this everywhere for a long time. When they brought the adulteress to Jesus, Jesus said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. If I heard one, I heard 100 sermons from different preachers say, now the original Greek says, it gives the idea that Jesus said, he who is without this sin cast the first stone. That's not what he said. He wasn't saying, now, if you're not guilty of adultery, then go ahead. That's not what he said. He said, he who's without sin, let him first cast the stone. Meaning, we can't, but the one who spoke that could. He is the stone. Amen? He is the stone, and he alone was worthy. So I just had to get that out of my system. You start retranslating the Bible, then your whole doctrine goes way out the door. Okay? Anyway, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approves the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou art thyself are a guide of the blind, and light of them which are in darkness, and instructed the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God, doesn't it make you mad when politicians break the law? Makes us mad, doesn't it? That's what he's getting at. Okay? Now, verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You say you can keep 9/10 of the Ten Commandments. Boy, that's wonderful. But that one that you break, you know what that makes you? A lawbreaker. Okay? Makes you a lawbreaker. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and the circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And I wanted to read that whole chapter, and then I'm going to touch on some things here a little bit, and we'll get out of here. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to pray for me as we preach his message, and pray that I get good and convicted by it. And if I get good and convicted by it, then it's only fair that somebody else get convicted by it. Amen? We want to be fair around here, so let's tell God to let us have it, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord, you have my permission, as far as I'm concerned, in this church service, God, to place me under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Father, Lord, I give you liberty, God, Lord, to deal with me and to work in me, God, and make me better than what I am, and help me, dear God. And Father, Lord, I'm pastor over this church, and Lord, I give you permission, dear God, to go in and make these people better than what they are and change our hearts and our lives, dear God, so that we see things the way things really are. And Father, Lord, help us, God, because we are by nature, it's in us, dear God, to judge people based upon things God, and you want to help us with that. And Lord, you want to help us to understand the truth of why we are like that. And so, God, Father, I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would just help us now. And Lord, Father, help the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine forth out of our lives and out of this church, God, to reveal to people the truth. Father, Lord, the truth will make them free. Lord, I love you, and I thank you, God, for giving me this Bible. God, I was out in the wilderness for a long time. And God, you could have left me out there. But God, you brought me back. And you brought me, Lord, to this book. And this book is real and it's sincere and it's true, God. And I never, never, Lord, have a right to make it say something it doesn't say. So God, help me to reveal the truth and preach the truth and speak the truth, God. And bless this message and help us, dear God. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, who'd we say this? Who would say this dot was? That's Mick, my Irish son-in-law. Okay? I love him. But there's a guy out there that hates me and hates him. And he hates him for one reason. Just one reason is why he hates him. Okay? Let's say that this is that guy that's writing us the hate mail all the time. Okay? Now, this is Michael. And there is something different about Michael that apparently this, and I don't know who this guy is, but there's something different about this guy here. Okay? I'm just going to draw a circle around him. Because circles are different than squares. Does everybody understand that? Okay? It's going to be real profound because it's going to be real simple. Circles are different than squares, everybody. Okay? So let's say that Michael's a square. Okay? Now this guy judges Michael not on his character, not on his faith, not on any actions, because he doesn't know him. The only thing that he knows about him is that his skin is black. That's all that he knows about him. Right? So he judges him and says, you're not saved and never can be saved because your skin is black. Now that is unbiblical. It's wicked. Okay? And now watch this. How does this guy feel in judging Michael for this reason? How does this make him feel? What? Superior. And stop and think about the ridiculousness of this. Who chose for this guy? Let's say this guy's Lily White. Okay? In fact, that's what we'll call him. We'll call him Lily. Okay? Lily White. When did he decide that that was going to be the color of his skin? He didn't. It was chose for him, right? So when did Michael decide that he was going to have the color of skin that he had? When did he decide that? It was chosen for him. Right? It's the way he came out. Comes out, he's black. Okay? This guy comes out as white. And yet, he feels, in judging Michael, he feels better, superior than him because he has cast judgment upon. In fact, this guy probably cast judgment upon Orientals and Mexicans and everybody else you want to name that's not Anglo-white. He casts judgment upon, and by the way, we talk about this guy now as if he's some aberration, but the truth of it is, 40 and 50 years ago, this is how it was in this country. Let's not lie about it. To a great extent, this is how it was. Okay? But we know in Christ, it's not supposed to be that way. Can I hear God's people say amen? Okay? So, Michael, thanks for letting me pick on you. Okay? So, if you're not going to like Mike, or you're going to like him because of what God's done in him, and not for anything else. Somebody say amen. Okay, now, let me draw a little deal up here. Let's get our bearings here, okay? Let's see here. I'm going to draw a square. I'm going to draw a circle. I'm going to draw a triangle, okay? The square equals lust of the flesh. The circle equals the lust of the eyes. And the triangle equals the pride of life, okay? So watch this, okay? Here is, let's just say Mike Hoggard, okay? Let's just say Mike Hoggard, or is there anybody else who wants to be picked on today? All right, Gary, I ain't picked on you in a while. I think I'm going to like this, okay? Here's Gary. Let's see here. Let's make Gary a circle, okay? Gary's got sin in him, okay? And so let's say that somebody out here is going to judge Gary because Gary's a sinner, okay? They know Gary's done something, he said something, he's been somewhere, or whatever it is. They know something on him, and they're going to cast judgment upon him because he's got sin in his life, or he has committed a sin of some kind. Just the same way we talked about Michael a while ago. Why does this person want to judge Gary for his sin? What is the motivation for judging other people on what they've done wrong? They are making in their mind their own sins seem smaller than what they think his are. Now tell me whether or not you know this to be true. Because we are eat up with it. And so this person's sin is pride. And so they cast judgment upon another person to make it look like they're really bad and they're not. And what this person who is judging this person is doing is that they are denying the forbearance of God. I want you to look in that. Let's start in verse 1 again, in Romans chapter 2. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. And so, whoever it was, let's say that this is Pastor Mike here, okay? Let's say that this is Pastor Mike. And I'm looking at Gary, and I know something about him, which I don't. And other than the fact that he's from Chicago, that's a deal in itself, amen, okay? Okay? So anyway, I'm casting judgment upon him for what I think about him, okay? So he says in verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for in wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. And so I'm casting judgment upon him because of something that I think he's done or something I think he is or whatever it is in the world. And I have no right to do that because what I'm saying in essence is that Gary is a transgressor of the law of God. Don't you understand? Don't hang around this guy. Don't you know he's a transgressor? And in saying that, whatever judgment I've cast upon him, I have now cast upon myself because tell me, which of these is greater? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life? They're all sin. So when I cast judgment and say that he is a sinner, one of the reasons why I'm doing this is to make me look big and him look small. It is a superior, inferior thing. The truth of it is, only Christ has the right to look at him or me and say, you're both sinners. Because he never was. That's why the judgment seat belongs to Jesus Christ. We must all appear, and Roman Catholicism would have you believe that I'll tell you what, that they've done this throughout histories. They had what's called inquisitions. They bring people in under the penalty of death and say, either do what the Pope says or we'll hang you, we'll kill you, we'll burn you, we'll do whatever we'll do whatever we feel like doing. They have made themselves the judge over mankind, and it's not their deal. It's not the Pope's, it's not the Bishop, it's not the Inquisition, it's not the Virgin Mary, it's not anybody like that. Judgment belongs to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So when I judge Gary for what I think he's done or what I know he's done or whatever, then I then fall under the same condemnation, but I don't think that I do. But see, here's we've talked about why we do it. Now let's look in the scripture, verse 3 of Romans 2. And thinkest thou this, O man, thou that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, shalt thou escape the judgment of God? And here's where people are going wrong. This is a form of self-justification. Self-justification. What does it mean to justify something? What does it mean to do that? What does it mean to justify something? To make excuses for what reason? Huh? Okay, Brady? Okay, we're all getting there, sister. Make it acceptable. Okay? To make what we're doing right by looking at what somebody else is doing. Does that make sense? Okay? So I am justifying my actions. All right. I'll get a subject that some people don't want talked about, especially nowadays. Okay? Y'all know there's trouble in our country. Amen. Okay? Big trouble. Okay? So, here's what is. You watch this. You mark this down. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be some people, Gary, that's going to say, well, I'm going to quit paying taxes. I don't like what's going on with our government. I'm going to quit paying taxes. Here's what they're doing. They're taking what they think the government is doing wrong, and there's a bunch of stuff the government's doing wrong, and they're saying, I am going to disobey the law, and I am not going to pay taxes, and I am justified in that because they're doing wrong. Now, I'm not the smartest egg in the basket, but I will tell you that Jesus told us, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. By the way, probably some of the same people that don't want to pay taxes don't tithe either. Okay? And I'm telling you, the government gives you a tax, you pay the tax. And if you don't believe in it, go to Walmart and try to buy a bag of groceries. And when they charge you to say, I'm not paying that sales tax, I refuse! And that's okay, well, give us a bag back, we're going to put it back on the shelf, and you go home hungry. Okay? I'm just telling you, that's just one illustration. There could be probably a dozen others that I could pull out of my head and you would swear up and down that I knew something about you. Because what we do is that we look at other people's sins, not considering our own, and we demonize them, we make them bad, evil, terrible, awful. And that then justifies what it is that we are going to do and our disobedience so that we are justified because of what somebody else did. And that is exactly what he's saying here. Because if you read the book of Romans is a progression. Paul is laying out a biblical foundation of how a man can be saved. Who in here wants to go to heaven when you die? Say amen. Okay? And we, you know what we do? We sit and dream up all different kinds of ways that we think that would be good for us to be able to get there, that benefit us primarily and please us. And usually, 9 times out of 10, every man's version of how to get to heaven usually allows him to keep sins that nobody else should have anything to do with. That's exactly how we are. We will dream up a way that will benefit us and curse everybody else. And we think, we have this tendency to believe that if everybody else can be proven to be wrong, then I will be right and I will be the one to go to heaven. And that is how we are. And that's what he's getting at here about this judgment thing. So when we judge people, it's like if I were to say, I don't like Mike because he's black, then I'm trying to raise myself up. Did you know that I think Japanese people, they have a real huge problem with white Americans. They think very, very little of us. I don't know if you knew that or not. So who's right? Okay, who's right? Are they right? Are we right? Because we're right and we're Americans and we're this and that and the other and they're Japanese. By the way, the Japanese don't even like the Chinese. They hate them. They hate them. They can't stand them. Okay? And even among whites, we don't like certain kind of whites. Amen? We don't like Chicago whites. Amen? Chicago whites don't like St. Louis whites. Okay? And when there was a bad election deal in Kenya here a few years ago, who were they fighting over there, Michael? They were fighting in between tribes. They didn't like each other. Why? Well, he was born of such and such tribe, such and such family. We don't like him because of that. And he didn't choose that. The same way you didn't choose whether to be a sinner or not a sinner. You were born. So you're a sinner by birth, and you're a sinner by birth, and you're a sinner by birth, and so are you, and so are you, and so are you. Okay? You didn't go to sin school either to learn how to sin. It just started coming out that you're a sinner. And what we do, the mistake that we make, even in, and I'll tell you, it's probably worse in fundamental Christianity than it is among the liberals. Liberals just love everybody, and everybody can be a sinner, and it's okay, which is not right. But especially among fundamental Christians, we love to pick everybody else apart because they're not of the same ilk as we are. We love to do that. Now, I will tell you, one thing I don't back down on is this Bible right here. This is the Word of God, and I'm not ashamed of it. It makes us who we are, and nothing else does. Can I hear God's people say amen? But I want to tell you something. We get self-righteous and self-justified. And those that pick everybody else apart because they don't like how they do this or how they do that or how they sing this song or how they do this thing in their worship service, this and that and the other, they pick that stuff apart and they do that to elevate themselves, and it's more in fundamentalism than it is anywhere in the world. If anybody needs to hear this message, it's the fundamentalist Christians and not the liberals. Liberals don't judge anybody. They don't judge anything. It's us. And one thing, and I want to tell you something, one of the things I've learned in being a fundamentalist preacher, a fundamentalist Christian, and I still struggle with it, still have a hard time with it, but I'm telling you, we got to be real careful about the judgment and our motives behind judging people. We better be real careful about it. Because 9 times out of 10, we're doing it to justify our own actions. Okay? And I do, especially when it comes to other preachers, I do this. I'm admitting it to you. This is how I am, especially when it comes to other preachers. I nitpick. I pick apart. I say, well, they shouldn't have said that, or they're not doing this, or they're not saying this right. And I'm bad about it. Not vocally, but privately to myself. And you know, and the Holy Ghost will stop me right in my tracks and say, hey, Mike, let's talk about you for a minute. And I'll say, whoa, God, let's not talk about me. God will stop me dead in my tracks and say, Mike, remember who you are? Yeah. Okay. And God says, Mike, you know what I do? I go tell God on everybody. Because that's what little kids do, right? Because little kids, see, we like this in our kids. Our kids love to get other kids in trouble. And I love this one where they say, they didn't have their eyes closed during prayer. How do you know? And I'm waiting for one of them to say, God told me while I was praying. Amen. I'm just waiting for what I'm saying. God showed me in a vision while I was praying. that sudden so-and-so didn't have their eyes closed. And as kids, we love to get other kids in trouble. We love to tattle on them. And see, we learn this from birth. We are born judgmental. And why do kids tell on other kids? To make them the pet. They're now elevated. Ha, 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 ha. You're in trouble. But we're supposed to grow up. See, it's okay to do this as kids, and it's funny as kids, but it's not funny when we hear adults doing it. It's the same sin. And really what we're doing is that we're stealing from God. We're trying to justify our own actions by pointing the finger at other people's actions. And here's what he said. He said, verse 3, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Verse 4, "Or despisest thou," look at this, "the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering." Three things that God is doing with you right now. Number one, God is rich in goodness. Raise your hand or nod your head or say amen if you have violated and broken the laws of God and he has not killed you. And see, when we're kids, oh man, we see this. When we're kids, or when we see our kids, the one who comes to tell on the other child or the other kids is never satisfied until that child is screaming in agony from the whipping. Or they got in trouble somehow, some way. They're not satisfied until that happens. But that is not God's way. We are the product of the riches of his goodness. In other words, God has chosen not to give us what we have always deserved. I better hear God's people say amen. Amen. None of us has ever received the fullness of what we deserved. Number two, his forbearance. That means God has put up with you for a long time. And when we start, and when we judge others to elevate ourselves, number one, we're despising the riches of his goodness. And number two, we are despising God's forbearance. You're despising it. You hate it. Because what you want is a religion that elevates you above everybody else or justifies your actions based upon what you see others doing. That's what you want. Okay? His forbearance and his long suffering. So we despise those things when we try to justify ourselves, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee not to judgment. The goodness of God, by giving us good doctrine and a good Bible, amen, and a good church, the goodness of God has led us and given us these things, not so that we can stand and look at everybody and say, y'all are wrong and y'all are not like us. That's not why God gave it to us. God gave us these good things to lead us to repentance. Because here's what God did for us, is that God took, it doesn't matter what this guy did, we repented and God took away our sin. Now we're just like Christ now. We have no sin. Amen? Didn't take long, did it? I mean, it just seems like we repent of one thing and God forgives us. And it just seems like it doesn't take too much long. We're having to repent again and God's got to forgive us again. Because that's how we are. And it's just a continual deal. God's still being good to us. God's still forgiving us. When you start despising that, even as a Christian, when you start despising that, you can tell because you start knocking everybody else and judging them and saying, well, they're not like this, this, and that, and the other. And I'll tell you, and a lot of you have known this for a long time. One of the things that I cannot deal with is being around people who act and honestly think that they're better than me and they don't mind me knowing it. I do not deal well with that at all. I don't like it when people in the world treat me that way, and I especially don't like it when brothers in Christ treat me that way. I don't try to adapt myself to them so that I can come up to their standard. I don't do that. I just pull back and say, hey. This is why it's just us here in this church. Amen. We're not part of a group anymore. We're not part of this. And to be honest with you, at times I can detect that there's a tug from other Christian groups that want us to join with them. And we're not going. Because what they want is they want us to change certain things so that we are accepted by them. And it was for some reason I was telling the Lord this yesterday. I was just visiting with the Lord. And one of the things that I've always wanted is to be accepted by people. And yet one of the things that I've always gotten is rejected. And I know why that is. Because there's only one that I want to be accepted by. And that is my Heavenly Father. And so if the world kicks me out of every club and every organization and every group, fine. Because it only matters to me what my Heavenly Father thinks of me. So let me do this. Gary, I apologize. Well, that's good because I'm pretty good at offending people too. You just hang around long enough and I'll get you. Let me put Mike Hoggard here. Let me get Gary out of the hot seat. Let me put Mike Hoggard here. Because this is me. In fact, we can just probably do this. Because I got all of it. I got the whole package. And if you want to judge me and if that makes you feel better about yourself, that's just too bad. Because the forbearance of Almighty God leads me to repentance. And when I repent, God takes all this stuff away. Where does that leave this guy here? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so if all these people out here, they want to think stuff about Mike Hoggard, I can't help that. And they do. But I know where I stand with God. And I know when other people have rejected me, I know that God accepts me. I'm really, really happy about that one. Amen. So I'm not going to despise the riches of His goodness or forbearance and His long-suffering, because I know that the goodness of God leads me to repentance. But here's what happens. After thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Well, there's just a whole, I'm trying to take a whole chapter, like Mike Hutzel, I'm trying to take a whole chapter and make it one good sermon out of it, okay? And that's really hard for me to do because I just want to spend about an hour and a half on each verse and sometimes on every word. But I'm glad, verse 11, there's no respect of persons with God. Amen? So whether I'm white, black, Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, it doesn't matter, okay? God wants me to repent of my sins and He'll love me because He made me. Amen? He made me and He loves me. And I know that the law is good. I know that. And if I or this guy here starts condemning me like these people, who found out we're going to have pulled pork for our deal. And some of these people, and I love them, some of them are good Bible studiers, but they still think that we're part of the Roman Catholic Church because we're going to church on Sunday. That's not biblical. That's not right. Okay? They will condemn us because we're going to have pork next week. Okay? They will. In fact, I had ham on my sandwich yesterday. They will condemn us over these things and say, well, you're not the right, you're not right with God like we are, but the truth of it is, what are their sins? They may never touch a piece of pork in their life, and they'll do all kinds of things on Saturday, but the truth of it is, what sins do they have? And they've got them. So how can anybody look at us here and judge us when they themselves are full of sin? And likewise, how can we look at anybody else when we ourselves are full of sin? Can I hear you say amen? So our remedy to all of this is to let God judge and let God bring us to repentance. And then once we're repented, then we are free and where there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can I hear God's people say amen? All right, I'm done preaching. That was it. That was Romans chapter 2. Maybe we'll get Romans chapter 3 next week. All right? But I want you to just, I want this message to hit home with you. I want you to think about it. I want you to think about us and what God has done with us and what God has done for us. And I want you to think about how we judge people because we do. Okay? I don't like the immigration deal that's going on in our country. I don't like the fact that we have illegal aliens pouring into our country. But I think we ought to love people that are Mexicans. I think we ought to love people. Witness to them. Evangelize them. Learn Spanish. Better. Okay? I think we ought to love people that are of a different color, different race, different creed, different country, this, and that, and the other. I don't like the fact that they're doing it illegally, but I think we ought to be careful and we ought to make sure that we love people. Can I hear God's people say amen? Okay? So let's just be careful about how we judge. Okay? I'd like for you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. I want to give you the opportunity this morning if you'd like to come. I want to have a time of prayer. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm following the leadership of the Lord. And I want to have an invitation per se, but I don't want to stand here for 15 minutes and beg you this and that and the other. But if you want to come down one of these altars, I mean, here they are, and we'll come down and we'll have a good time in prayer. If you want to get saved, then you come down and get saved. You want to come down and tell God you're sorry about some sins, and come down here and tell Him. We'll talk about it. But right where you are, right there in the pew, if God's dealing with you, then let Him deal with you. Don't you think about some people that you probably judge wrong. And things about some people that probably judge you, and you don't like how that feels, and so let's just get some things right with God, all right? Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, dear God, Lord, that you can deal with us and meet our needs and help us, God. And Lord, Father, it's hard to get us right with you. It is hard, God. And Father, Lord, I used to just judge people, and I used to just cast people down, and God, I still do in some cases. And God, Lord, I really struggle with that. And I want help with it, God. I want to love people. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that, Lord, I know how it feels, God, when I know, God, there's other people that are accusing me of things and saying things. And God, it's just really hard. But God, I know what you think of me, God. Because I read it in your word, and your word's true, and it doesn't lie. Father, I thank you, dear God, Lord, for loving me. And Lord, help me to love people that same way, even people that have done things wrong against me. And Lord, Father, help me to love them that same way. Help us to love one another. Help us to have forbearance and forgiveness in our marriage. And Father, Lord, in our homes, in our families, God. Help us to have it in our church, God, that nobody in this church is lobbing grenades at somebody else in this church, God. But Father, Lord, we just love people. And we pray for them, dear God, Lord, and that you'll judge them, you'll bring them to repentance, Father. Lord, bless this church, and thank you, dear God, for teaching us this lesson. Lord, we need it. We ask you, dear God, Lord, to go with us now. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.